Spiritual healing is not a miracle. When we do not know how something works, perhaps we might consider it as a miracle. If you were to talk about airplanes that carry hundreds of people and tons of heavy loads to those people who lived few hundred years back, probably those people would have thought it as a miracle. But today, we do not think the reality of the airplanes as a miracle. The reason is we know the science behind this process, so it is no more a miracle to us. In the same manner, if we can understand how spiritual healing is possible, and if you understand how it works, it's not a miracle. Buddhist spiritual practices that involve in healing has psychological, spiritual, and karmic aspects to it. To begin with, perhaps we can ask the question, if spiritual practices can heal the diseases, then why do we need the doctors? First of all, I must say that Buddhism does not say that all the physical diseases can be healed through spiritual practices. There are some physical diseases, and their root causes can be found in the mind itself. They are mental oriented. Today, modern medicines recognize that many of the physical diseases, in fact, has mental causes. Anxiety, stress, prolonged depression, agitation, anger, and such kind of mental issues can closely link with various physical conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, or even heart attacks. So those diseases that we can find their roots in the mind can be healed through spiritual practices. There can be some other diseases, and their causes can be totally physical. Even in such cases, spiritual practices can be helpful to recover faster. An optimistic, positive-minded patient can recover faster than negative-minded, pessimistic patient. So Buddhist spiritual practices help us to develop a positive and wholesome mind, which can help to recover faster. Mind can make us sick. At the same time, mind also has power to cure us. There's another category of diseases recognized in Buddhist teachings, and they are karmically genetic. The causes of these diseases can be rooted in unwholesome actions did either in this life or past lives. Even in such kind of cases, spiritual practices can help us. Some of these karmically genetic diseases can be healed through spiritual practices. Even in such cases where we cannot totally cure them, still, spiritual practices can reduce a lot of sufferings here. The fourth category of diseases from the Buddhist point of view are the mental defilements themselves. From the Buddhist point of view, as long as we have negative, destructive, and unwholesome defilements rooted in human mind, mind is not healthy. We will experience a lot of suffering. In this fourth aspect, Buddha is the best doctor. In fact, in many discourses, we come across the analogy that Buddha as a doctor, Dhamma as medicine, and Sangha as nurses. Buddha prescribed the perfect cure for mental diseases caused by defilements. Enlightenment is the perfect healthy state of the mind. So this concept, Buddha as a doctor and Dhamma as medicine and the Sangha as nurses, later stage developed to a concept of medicine Buddha by Sajjaguru. Now, before we proceed further, let's also see how Buddha himself used his great wisdom and his spiritual powers and abilities to overcome the diseases. There are occasions when Buddha fell sick. He took the medicines from the doctor. Once he had his stomach captured, and Dr. Jivaka attended him and cured him. Another occasion, when his foot was injured as a result of Devadatta's attempt to kill him, Dr. Jivaka treated him. Buddha himself, as well as the monks, when they physically sick, they took the medicines from the doctors. There are also occasions where Buddha used his psychic power to cure himself. Once, when he was in Belua village, he fell sick. He was gravely sick and almost about to die. Then he thought to himself, it is not proper for me to pass away without addressing my disciples, the community of Sangha. Then he overcame his physical sickness using his psychic powers. And then he assembled the monks to assembly hall and then declared, in another 3 months' time, the Tathagata will pass away, will attain to final Nibbana. So there were occasions where he used his own psychic powers to overcome the physical diseases. Buddha also used his spiritual power to help others to recover from certain diseases. Once when Princess Suppavasa was suffering from her unusual pregnancy, according to the sutta, she was pregnant for 7 years. And on the 7th year, she started to have labor pain, but she could not give birth. For 7 days, she was having acute pain and suffering. During this difficult time, she thought the great virtue of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Princess Suppavasa had great faith in the Triple Gems. She addressed her husband and asked him to go to the Buddha and pay respect on behalf of her and relate her agony and sufferings to the Buddha. Buddha, having heard her suffering, uttered these words, may Suppavasa be well, be free from diseases, may she give birth to a son who is free from sickness. Having received these words, this gentleman, the husband of Suppavasa, returned to his house. When he came home, he noticed that his wife has given a birth to a healthy son and she was fully recovered. Elated, Princess Suppavasa invited the Buddha and the community of monks to have lunch for 7 consecutive days, which Buddha did accept. So there were occasions where Buddha used his spiritual power to help the others. There were also occasions where the Buddha used the Dhamma as a healing power to help others to recover. Once, Venerable Mahakasapa was gravely ill. Buddha visited him, and then Buddha recited 7 factors of enlightenment. After hearing to these 7 factors of enlightenment, Venerable Mahakasapa fully recovered from his diseases. So from the Buddhist point of view, spiritual healing is possible and it is not a miracle, but we do not recognize that spiritual practices can heal all the diseases. But rather, spiritual practices or healing should be complementary to the medicine. So ideally, while taking medicines from the doctor, we also can engage in spiritual practices to heal our mind. So when both body and the mind receive proper medicines, and then we can achieve good health. Now, let's ask the question, what do Buddhist monks do when they are invited to visit patients in the hospitals? In different Buddhist traditions, Buddhist monks may adopt various ways and methods to help the patients to recover faster. But generally speaking, all these practices can be divided into three broader sections: chanting, conditioning the mind in a positive way, and meritorious actions. Chanting is one of the popular Buddhist practice. But when the monks chant, what do they chant? If you know the meaning of these chanting, you will easily recognize, in fact, Buddhist monks, they use the discourses of the Buddha. And inside this chanting, what is being chanted is the Dhamma. At the end of the chanting, the monks will utter the words like, with the power of this truth, may you recover faster, may you recover well. Because Dhamma is the ultimate truth, and we uphold this truth. So this is exercising the spiritual power of the truth. For the chanting to become an effective healing power, there are some necessary conditions. First of all, chanting produces sound energy. When these discourses are chanted melodically, rhythmically, and this soothing sound of the chanting produce positive, vibrant sound energy. This sound energy can change our mind and it can affect our nervous system. When you listen to the sound of the chanting, our mind becomes calm, serene, peaceful. When the mind is peaceful and calm, the negativity disappears. Mind becomes very wholesome. Such a mind can help the body to recover faster. When the Buddhist monks do chanting, they also exercise the power of the virtue. Monks are upholding moral precepts, sila. These righteous principles help to develop virtues. So basically, the monks or nuns or other Buddhist practitioners, they will keep away from all the types of evil, wicked, immoral, and unwholesome actions. They will dedicate themselves to cultivate great compassion, loving kindness, and such marvelous virtues. So when a monk does chanting and he exercises his virtuous power, out of great compassion towards the patient, wishing the patient to recover faster, he will continue reciting the verses of the Dhamma. Third spiritual power involved here is the power of the concentration. monks and nuns, they dedicate themselves to develop their mind through meditation. Through meditation practice, we can develop our mindfulness, concentration, and other excellent qualities of the mind. When we do chanting, then we focus the patient and direct all the mental energy towards the patient, and then we will chant, wishing the patient to recover faster. So in this way, a monk or a nun who uphold righteous principles and dedicate oneself to practice meditation, who uphold the Dhamma as the truth, having great faith in the Triple Gems, having great compassion towards the patient, focusing and directing one's mind towards the patient, and wishing may you recover faster, when he does that chanting, it is a spiritual power. It is exercising of the power of the spiritual practice. In order for this spiritual power to take effect in the patient's body, from the patient's side, there is one requisite. The patient should have great faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Then only it will work. If the patient doesn't have the faith in the Triple Gems, if the patient doesn't have respect towards the Triple Gems, and this doesn't work. So in order to have a healing power within the body of the patient, both the patient as well as the person who practice chanting must have these certain necessary conditions fulfilled. Then only it can become effective way of healing. When we are invited to visit the patients in the hospitals, we also use various ways to condition the mind of the patient in a positive and wholesome way. Because such a positive mind can help the body to recover faster. But there can be many ways to do that. If the patient is someone who has great faith in the Triple Gems, but doesn't have Dhamma understanding or practical knowledge, in such cases, we might use the faith itself as a tool, as a force to help the person to recover. The monks might encourage the patient to engage in certain practices, like recalling the name of the Buddha to his mind. So when the patient think of the Buddha, mind become positive, negativity disappear. Fear, stress, or any other kind of negative thoughts will disappear. Because of the great faith in the Buddha, the person might have wholesome mindset, a positive mindset, to recover faster. In occasions where the patient doesn't have much physical ability to recollect the virtues of the Buddha or recite the name of the Buddha, then in such kind of occasions, it is still can be helpful to keep a Buddha statue or Buddha picture somewhere that patient can see easily and concentrate. So through that, he can still develop his mind based on the virtue of the Buddha. If the patient still cannot do that, then We also can use like sound, the Buddhist chanting, or some soothing Buddhist music that can help the patient to concentrate and have a positive mindset. Well, if the patient is someone who has Dhamma understanding, then we can encourage the patients to reflect about the Dhamma. We can particularly give a Dhamma topic for the patient to reflect and contemplate deeply about it. When the patient who has great faith in the Triple Gems contemplate and reflect the Dhamma, his mind becomes luminous and powerful and wholesome. And if the patient has practical understanding of the Dhamma, then we encourage that person to develop meditation itself. While lying down in the hospital bed, we will encourage the patient to develop meditations like loving kindness or mindfulness. We will encourage the patients to develop mindfulness on feelings and observe the feelings without being attached to them. Or we will encourage the patients to observe the thoughts without being carried away. Or we will encourage the patients to contemplate on the impermanent, transitory nature of the existence. In this way, a patient can let go attachment, and mind become luminous, powerful. We also use Dhamma counselings. If a patient were to have some negativity because of some defilements, or because of the patient has got some grudge or towards somebody, in such kind of cases, we also use Dhamma counseling to help the patient to have positive mind. So this is another way. We also encourage the patients to do meritorious actions, because wholesome karmic energy will be greatly helpful in the process of recovery. One of the popular methods is releasing those animals that are captured in the cage or kept for slaughtering purpose. This is popularly called life liberation. And Buddhists believe such kind of actions produce a lot of merits. We also encourage the patients to practice other forms of dana. In all folk homes, nursing care centers, there are people who are undergoing physical pain and suffering. So helping these people is another form of meritorious actions. And having helped these organizations to take care of their patients and elderly people, we generate the merits, and then we wish the well-being and happiness of the particular patient that we are thinking of. Or they also can help the monastic community, the monks and nuns, or some people help the monasteries, or even for Dhamma work, or any other kind of charitable action. All these are meritorious actions. So meritorious actions also can purify our mind and energize our mind with wholesome karmic energy. In that way also, it will help to recover faster. So generally speaking, these are the three major steps: chanting and conditioning the mind in a positive way, and engaging in the meritorious actions. Through these, we can help the patient to recover faster. Before we end up this talk, there are a few more points I would like to bring up. If you were to ask the question, Can we ask the help from spiritual beings like great bodhisattvas and devas when someone is sick? Such practices are encouraged in Buddhist teachings. And such practices can be greatly helpful as well. When someone is sick, and relatives and friends, sometimes they go to the temples, monasteries, and other religious places, and they might engage certain meritorious actions, and then they will ask the help from the great bodhisattvas and from the devas to help their particular patients to recover faster. And such spiritual practices are encouraged. You can do that. You are not without help. In fact, this is a common element in all the religions. So in Buddhist teachings too, we have this practice as well. There are also some misunderstandings related to this Buddhist spiritual healing practices. I have personal experiences. At some occasions, people invite us to visit the patients in the hospitals, but they have a different understanding. They will ask us to do chanting for the patient to die peacefully. In fact, this is a misunderstanding. In Buddhist teachings, if a Buddhist monks were to have even a thought like, may you die, in such kind of thought can be a great offense, violating a major precept. So when you ask a monk to do chanting for a particular patient to pass away, that is in fact very much against the Buddhist principles. So usually monks will not do that. Even at the moment of the death, and the monks knows the person is dying, but still we will have the mindset that may you be well, may you be happy. So all the monks will do chanting or other spiritual practices without of great compassion towards the patient, wishing the patient the recovery from the sickness. But there can be a Buddhist practice where a dying person may want to see a monk. And that is a Buddhist practice that goes back to the time of the Buddha itself. A Buddhist practitioner who has got great faith in the Triple Gems, at the last minute in his life, he will still wish to see the monks or hear the Dhamma. And that's a wholesome practice. And when a monk or a nun were to visit such a patient who is dying, and at that time, they might do some chanting or some counseling or whatever appropriate for the moment. But this practice is to help the patient to have positive, wholesome mind at the moment of the death. But the monk or nun will not have any wish for the patient to die, or they will not have such kind of thoughts. And another important point here, if you were to invite a monk or a nun to go to hospital or visit a patient, you should make sure the patient has faith in the Triple Gems. If the patient doesn't have faith in the Triple Gems, if the patient does not like to see the monks or nuns, and if the patient have what is it called, a kind of negative thoughts and feelings towards the religion, towards Buddhism or practices, even though the relatives has got a different understanding and wholesome thoughts, inviting a monk or nun to visit the patient may not be helpful. And perhaps maybe that is total wasting of time. There are occasions we understand it, but still we do that. It is because we have compassion for living relatives. So in such kind of occasions, we still go to the hospitals. We still do some chanting and our duty. And the intention here is to relieve suffering psychologically from the mind of the relatives who are there. So I think this much is enough as a talk. So we can open this for Q&A.